This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Nutrition and Plastic Surgery Information Channels. We're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Today, we are speaking with Dr. Gregory Buford, the owner and medical director of Beauty by Buford, about how to optimally support your body's natural healing processes through diet. Dr. Buford, a pleasure to have you with us today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you. My pleasure as well.
So tell us, Dr. Buford, what inspired you to write Eat, Drink, and Heal?
So the inspiration of the book, it actually came from a number of angles. Probably the most important was the realization that in treating my aesthetic patients for over 16 years that I probably wasn't treating them as optimally as I could. I grew up in an environment, I grew up in the Pacific Northwest where optimal nutrition, healthy food, clean living was really optimized, and it was just more a matter of life. It was a way of life. And so going through my 40s, I made changes in my life that adjusted how I worked out, my lifestyle factors, how I ate, and began noticing that those changes could be implemented within my my patient's surgical nutrition. And once I started doing that, I noticed that they started healing better. Another thing that I noticed as well, too, is I work with a number of people in the fitness industry, and there was an obvious difference in terms of how they healed because I really didn't have to talk to them about surgical nutrition. I didn't have to talk to them about getting enough protein. And I noticed that when they came in, same thing, that they were healing faster. So I think that if you really look at this, and I mentioned this in the book, Eat, Drink, Heal, that our medical training, and this goes for nurses as well, too, and other medical providers, we really are not taught how to teach our patients about optimal nutrition. And I think we're really doing our patients a disservice. So the inspiration for Eat, Drink, Heal is the fact that I really think that, you know, in one of the best medical systems in the world, we can simply do it better. You know, we focus on technology, but these are the simple things that really can improve results overall.
Also, why is total wellness so important to optimal healing, both after injury and in day-to-day life?
Well, total wellness is important, actually, for all of our life. I mean, I always tell my patients that you can either pay for it on the front end or you can pay for it on the back end. So what that means, essentially, is you know, if you want to eat the typical carbohydrate-laden, you know, trans-fat-saturated diets that, you know, McDonald's provides for you, sure, you can save some money. You know, you won't spend as much money as you will on organics and some of the healthier foods. But you'll pay for it on the back end. You'll pay for that with disease and with a quality of life. Pay for it on the front end. In other words, spend a little bit more time and potentially a little bit more money, a few more resources, and focus on trying to get food that is actually healthy for you. And you'll actually have more quality of life. And that's a given. That's science speaking. That's not just me. So, you know, it's good for everyday living, but if you think about it, it only makes sense right around the time of surgery. I mean, your body goes through trauma, even with the most minor of surgeries. And so when you undergo surgery, your body's metabolic requirements increase, and they increase for your macronutrients, which are the things like carbohydrates, fats, proteins, water, fiber, and so forth. And they also they increase as well, too, for the micronutrients. And these are the vitamins, the trace minerals, and so forth. So, you know, if we have someone that's living the typical American way of life and consuming the typical American diet, chances are their diet is probably replete. It's missing key ingredients, and it's probably very heavy on the carbohydrates, not so heavy on the good fats, but heavy on the bad fats. And when it comes to surgical healing, it's time to pay the piper, so to speak. And so if you boost your protein stores, if you get your body in shape, chances are you're going to heal faster and you're going to heal more optimally. And there's a number of studies, again, in the literature showing that things like, you know, high blood sugar around the time of surgery actually delays wound healing, and it actually causes an increased risk that your wounds can actually separate or open, which I'm sure most of my patients are not looking for. So what I try to do is you know, I try to provide my patients with information with respect to what to eat, how to eat it, when to eat it, and so forth, and do this around the time of surgery. And the crazy thing is, majority of these patients actually will continue with this healthy lifestyle, this healthy way of eating, long after they've healed from surgery, because they simply just feel better. So it's a great way for me to pass along a few tips to them to help them live hopefully a more productive and healthy life.
Quite informative, and I really appreciate your sharing that in depth. Now, how do you hope to inspire people to become more proactive in their own health?
Well, my goal is just what you said, is I hope to inspire people to be proactive. I think that, you know, in this day and age, I hate to say it, I'm gonna be a little negative here. It's always someone else's fault. I always hear, well, I can't get access to good food. Good food is too expensive, and so forth. That's a load of you know what. That's just nonsense. So, good food does cost a little bit more. I agree, and there are some areas of the country where it is harder to get good food. But the bottom line is that we do know now. You'd have to be so detached from any kind of education and any kind of information to not understand that fast food is simply not good for you. I mean, I think people understand it, that it's not good for you, but they simply think, well, you know, I don't really have the time to eat healthy, and I'm on the go, and I'm too busy, and so forth. Well, again, it's that whole notion of paying for the front end or the back end. So what I hope to do is I hope to inspire people to eat better, and not because they're trying to prove anything. What I'm trying to do is try to inspire people to actually eat better, and then to realize the benefits of it with respect to feeling better, having more energy. I can tell you that having changed my diet over the last, you know, 5 or so years, I sleep better. I feel better. I just turned 50, and for a 50-year-old guy, I have more energy and more strength than I've ever had in my life. And it's not because I'm popping a bunch of pills, not because I'm on anything magic. You know, it really is paying attention to lifestyle factors. And I'll tell you that my hope is to inspire people to actually take more charge and more control of their life, and don't blame time. Don't blame the fact that you have kids. Don't blame the fact that you have a busy job. You know, those things exist, and you just have to figure out tweaks around them. Okay. You have to learn how to hack your time, so to speak, to borrow a Tim Ferriss statement. But you really need to learn to manage your time better and how to incorporate healthy living in your life on a day-to-day basis.
And your message is certainly inspirational. Today we are speaking with Dr. Gregory Buford, the owner and medical director of Beauty by Buford. He's also the author of the book, Eat, Drink, and Heal. He's joined us here today on eHealth Radio's Nutrition and Plastic Surgery Information Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, continuing on, Dr. Buford, what are some of the most common challenges many people face in achieving their optimal health?
You know, I think the most common challenges, first of all, is the abundance or overabundance of information with respect to nutrition. If you look on the internet, it's like trying to drink through a fire hose. You know, the question is, you know, what diet is best for me? Should I do the paleo diet? Should I do the Mediterranean diet? Should I do the blood type diet? Should I do the South Beach diet? Well, what I would tell people is, it really doesn't matter, okay? And that's going to be shocking, because a lot of people think, well, I've got to follow these trendy diets. You know, it's not the trendy diet you should be following, because I can tell you that we're all a little different. And being able to identify what works best for you is what's important. And if you look at, really break down some of the diets, personally, I follow more of a Mediterranean diet. I'm a big fan of the oils and nuts, the grains, the meats, the very, very clean meats in that diet. But that doesn't mean that's what I advocate for everybody. So I think one of the most common challenges is for people to find good information. And that's why I wrote Eat, Drink, Heal, because it's not just for people that are having surgery. It's actually designed for a day-to-day guide to better eating. So I think that, you know, the challenge that we have right now is really educating people in terms of, you know, how to start simple, how to be consistent. And that's the second biggest challenge is consistency. If you really look at it, you know, we are all busy. We're all living very, very busy lives. And, you know, consistency can be hard if you're traveling. I mean, personally, I don't fly as much as I used to, but I used to be on a plane a lot. And I can tell you that going, you know, flying in, you get in late, you get a hotel, the first thing you want to do is maybe go grab an unhealthy choice at the bar. It's about trying to put in a realistic amount of healthy choices. Now, as I tell my patients, if you fall off the wagon once in a while and you want to have that, you know, cheeseburger, or you want to have that big slice of pizza and so forth, you know what? Honestly, go for it. The studies have all shown that if you actually allow a little bit of flexibility with respect to how you eat, you're probably going to be a little bit more consistent. If you're so rigid that you don't allow anything in and you just say, I've got to eat healthy 99.999% of the time, those people tend to be a little bit more miserable. And I see this not only in people that I know, but also in myself when I've been on very stringent diets. I did a one-time fitness competition, and I can tell you I was on an extremely rigorous diet, and I was probably not a very nice, pleasant person to be around for about 4 weeks. It definitely paid off. I did well, but it's not something that I would continue. So, you know, I think that consistency is important, and I also think, too, balance is important as well, too. I happen to be a big fan of good glass of wine. So am I going to cut out all my wine? No, I'm going to have a glass here and there, and I'm going to enjoy, and, you know, I'm going to try to balance. And I think that's really the key thing. So the challenges that people face right now, I mean, there are multiple levels. I'd say, again, it's, you know, trying to, figure out what's valid information. I think that trying to assimilate that information into your life and in such a way that it's actually helpful and in a way that you could actually practice it day to day and be consistent, that's the biggest challenge. And then if you have kids, obviously it's getting the kids to enjoy the food as well too. The interesting thing is my fiance's kids actually love vegetables. I mean, they love healthy food, and so, you know, we're actually very blessed. I mean, that's not the way it is with a lot of kids. I mean, a lot of kids do go for the sugary snacks, and, you know, once in a great while, it's not bad. But I think that if you really look at how, kids are fed, how we are fed, supersizing has gotten out of control. I was blown away a few years ago. I went to the movies, and I asked for a small soda, which I rarely ever drink soda. But I thought, hey, what the heck, you know, I'm going to have it. This time, the soda was basically the size of an extra large a few years before. And then I looked at it, and I said, you got to be kidding me with this. And then the guy said, actually, and there's free refills. So to add, you know, fire on fire, I mean, I can not only drink this much sugar at one time, I can also refill it and increase my sugar level even higher. So I think there's a lot of challenges that we face with respect to, you know, again, having the balance, being consistent, and so forth. There's also a challenge of marketing as well, too. I mean, we're marketed to in many ways that we don't realize. One thing that I don't think most people realize is if you drive an Asian car, a Japanese car, for example, most people don't realize that there are no cup holders in Japanese cars in Japan, okay? And that's a fact. They don't have cup holders in Japan. Why? Because they don't drink as they're driving. We do, though. In fact, actually, the cup holders have gotten bigger so they can accommodate the larger sodas, which is pretty pathetic if you think about it. Obesity is going up. We're increasing the lap belts on the airlines so we can accommodate a more obese population. It's as nice as we try to be about this. Obesity, I'm sorry, I'm gonna step on some toes here. Obesity is not sexy, and obesity is not healthy. Okay, there's nothing positive about obesity. And it's one of the biggest challenges to the American healthcare system and something that's going to effectively bankrupt the healthcare system. And the sad thing is that it's something we can actually control. So, again, one of the biggest common challenges that people are facing, you know, I think it's the biggest challenges is living in the U.S. in the year 2017. I mean, these are tough times with respect to trying to balance, trying to figure out what's healthy and trying to assimilate that into our lives. So, I encourage people to essentially learn more, you know, become educated. I mean, I think it's the same thing as becoming financially educated. Anybody that works, anybody that you know, pays bills, which is really all of us, really should gain some interest in learning more about finances, how to balance a checkbook and so forth. Well, if we're going to balance checkbooks, we should also balance our nutritional checkbook as well too. Okay, and that's very, very important that we have that information. We can't just simply stuff things in our mouth and wonder why we don't feel good. You know, one of the most surprising things that I tell people is, you know, about 70% of our immune cells, okay, 70% of the immune system that actually exists within the gut. And a lot of your neurotransmitters as well, too, about that same percentage, about 70% are made in your gut. So when we say we don't feel good, we actually don't feel good, all right? So if you're eating junk and you're eating stuff that's actually going to produce negative neurotransmitters or it's going to create a bad milieu or environment within the gut, you know, it's not surprising that we don't feel good. Our brains don't feel good. There's a mind-body connection that's very, very strong, and we're learning more and more about it on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, I think that this is a lot of information I'm giving out right now, but I – you know, to kind of summarize it, I think one of the biggest challenges that we have is trying to balance our lives and trying to assimilate all the information that we're being bombarded with respect to how to eat, what to eat, and then also separate that too from what we're being marketed to. You know, if anybody that watches TV, I really don't watch much television, but when you do, if you look at it, you know, we're being bombarded by all the restaurant chains about, you know, the candies. I mean, depending upon what time of day you're watching TV, they're marketing obviously to various groups and to various ages and so forth. So it is very, very, very hard to kind of balance that out. And then look at our kids that, you know, if you go to sporting events, who sponsors the sporting events? Coca-Cola, Budweiser. I mean, these are you know, it's kind of sad if you look at it. These are all things that our kids are associating with health, things like fitness, and they're associating Coca-Cola, even Gatorade. Gatorade's great once in a great while, but all it is basically sugar water. So it's not, you know, if you're recovering from a long athletic event, sure, that's fine for a one-time thing, but just simply be sipping on it all day is not something that's productive. So those are in a nutshell and a very long-winded answer. Those are probably the most common challenges that I see people facing in their attempts to achieve optimal health.
Certainly never long-winded when it deals with our health, and we really appreciate all the phenomenal information shared here on that particular question. In conclusion, what are some small changes people can incorporate ASAP into their diets that can make a big difference in their total wellness?
And, you know, that's a great question to end on. That's actually what I encourage people to do, and this is not only my patients but also my friends as well too, is, you know, start slow, okay? A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. That's one of my all-time favorite sayings, and it's very, very true. You know, you can't change everything overnight, and there will be people that disagree with me that say you've got to do these radical diets and so forth. I don't agree, because I think that, you know, for myself, I can tell you from my own experience going through and changing how I eat, you know, it didn't change overnight. And I still had some bad habits. And I still have some bad habits. I'm not going to tell you that I eat perfectly every single day, 24 hours a day. I don't. I mean, I'll have my cheeseburger here and again. I'll have my, fast food, I really don't eat much of at all. But, you know, once in a great while, I will. And, you know, it's something that I think that if you do it very rarely, it's not going to probably kill you. But the small changes that people can incorporate would be just that, small changes. And you know, take it slow. Things like adding more vegetables, all right? And that sounds crazy, but, you know, if you're gonna prepare a meal, add some veggies and add the ones that you like. Cut out a lot of the fruit. That's a big misconception that, you know, most fruits – are actually just chock full of sugar, and they're chock full of what is called fructose. And fructose is a sugar that's readily broken down in the liver and increases your blood sugar very, very quickly. And, you know, and so people will say, well, I go to Jamba Juice and I get my smoothie, and it's full of all these great fruits and so forth. Well, you might as well eat a piece of cake, because in reality, you're not really getting all the goodness. Now, if you do want to eat some fruit, there are things that are actually better fruits than others, but you just limit them. It's like anything. You just eat them in moderation. But, you know, the small changes I would say would be to, you know, take it slowly. And as you progress as well, too, try to become, no pun intended, hungry for more information. I mean, hungry in terms of trying to learn how to cook for yourself, for example. My fiance and I actually cook most of our meals at home. And the reason we do that is, number one, you'd be surprised at how much money you save. I mean, it's a lot cheaper when you're not eating processed meals. Second thing is we actually know what's in our food. Instead of it being chock full of sugar and trans fats and salt and so forth, which are kind of the three big culprits that are not good for you that are in most restaurant food. And in fact, actually very highly saturated with those ingredients because that's kind of what you crave. You know, we control that. So we use a lot of herbs to flavor with. We use citrus. We'll use lemon juice, orange juice, and so forth. And it sounds crazy. It may sound a little granola, but once you start eating clean, you just can't go back. I mean, it's kind of a mixed blessing because when I go to some of the restaurants, I can't eat the fast food. It just makes me sick to my stomach because, you know, once you eat stuff that's so clean, you really you get a taste for it and you're really able to identify the junk that's in all the processed food. So, you know, I would say that, you know, to get started good direction with respect to nutrition, you know, small steps every day, make goals for yourself. Say, hey, if you're going to lose a little bit of weight, and it's not just about losing weight, but if you're trying to lose weight, set small goals. Say, you know, say a pound a week. I mean, or reward yourself. Say, if I do XYZ during the week and I'm, you know, reducing my alcohol or I'm reducing my intake of candy or whatever it is, that you reward yourself with little things along the way. So you're not just doing this blindly. The other thing as well, too, is have an endpoint. You know, have an endpoint that you want to accomplish. Say in 6 months, I want to be at this weight, or in 6 months, I want to lower my cholesterol by this, or in 6 months, I want to have my blood pressure down to this. You know, set hard goals and actually hold yourself to them. Be accountable. And I think those are really kind of the small changes that, you know, people can do to really establish not only hard, fast, and consistent goals, but also goals they can actually manage. Because if the goals are too draconian, if they're too hard to manage, you know, we've all put unrealistic expectations on ourselves at one time or another. And if when you do that, you're not going to keep up, and you're just going to get frustrated, and you're going to burn out. And in fact, what you'll probably do is you'll probably yo-yo to the other side, and you'll probably end up, you know, almost rebelling against, you know, good nutrition and eating bad things. And if you think I'm crazy, I mean, it happens. So I would just suggest small steps, small baby steps. Again, you know, back to the saying, you know, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Take that single step today and don't look back, and be willing to take another step tomorrow and another step the day after and keep going. And if you can take a couple steps in one day, good for you. But, you know, be realistic, be consistent, and be true to yourself.
Dr. Buford, again, thanks so much for your time spent with us here today. Super information. We really appreciate all the details shared here today. Where can listeners get more information, not only on your practice, but also how could they pick up the book as well?
Absolutely. So the practice, the website is beautybybuford.com. We're also accessible on Instagram, on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on Pinterest, all the major social media channels with the Beauty by Buford name. The book can be purchased through Amazon.com. You can also purchase the book directly through my website, and you can also purchase it right through our office. So I encourage everyone, even if you're not having surgery, pick up a copy of the book, read it over, and also, too, shoot us back your insights. You know, we always like to hear positive feedback, even constructive criticism. And we'd love to hear some, you know, there's areas that you say, hey, I was really confused by this. Let us know, because this is certainly a work in progress. This is, for me, this is a mission. It's a movement. It's something that we're hearing feedback, not only from within the United States, but we're also getting feedback from Europe and abroad. So it's really exciting. It's really exciting, and something that I hope can be helpful for everyone.
You bet, and certainly privileged and honored to be a part of getting the message out. Well, once again, Dr. Buford, it has been our pleasure to have had you. Continued success. Wishing you the best, and have a great day out there.
Absolutely. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate the opportunity.
And you're most welcome. We have been speaking with, once again, Dr. Gregory Buford, the owner and medical director of Beauty by Buford. He's also the author of the book Eat, Drink, and Heal. And to learn more, simply visit beautybybuford.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Nutrition and Plastic Surgery Information Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.